Blog Talk Radio.
We'll be right back.
evening. As I walk the path to being honest and good, I will keep my mind focused on reap what you sow. By doing this, I'll be walking the path of the enlightened. I will get what I want. Bible 2.0. How come some people gain so much power from the book and you don't have, and you read the book every day, 5 times a day, I don't feel kept doing what you need out of the book? It stands to me that you're reading a book without understanding. You're reading the book from a religious point of view. And if you read the book from a religious point of view, actually the book don't make sense. Well, not all of it. Some of them make a lot of sense if you're reading it from a religious point of view, because it's not really a religious book. The book wasn't written for Christians. Okay? They put their name, okay, on a system that they set up and use the Bible as a religious book. Now, they don't teach the Bible codes, okay? That's why when the movie Da Vinci Codes came out, I thought they were going to be dropping codes, but they ain't dropping no codes. You know what I mean? They were just trying to convince people that Jesus was white. And, well, you know, everybody know he wasn't from the white tribe. He's from the black tribe. So, I mean, black tribe, you know, not brown, not orange, not red, not yellow. He's from the actual black tribe. So we all know that. But they didn't, we was excited about the code because we thought they was going to really drop some information, you know, some secret doctrine or something. But that's not what they did. You know, I went and I saw the movie. I'm saying to myself, duh, you know. They wasn't really giving off anything. Our slogan is love is an act to make others feel good. So if you're not committing acts to make other people feel good, you're not showing them no love. You know, I don't know what you're showing, you know. Maybe you're trying to use them, take advantage of them or whatever, but you're not showing them no love, okay? Now, we're going to get into why, you know, some people are gaining so much power on the book, and you're not getting no power. Something's wrong with that. So we have to check that out. Let's deal with that, all right? Now, I'm not getting enough feedback to go into Leviticus and some of the other books, okay? So I want to make sure that you have a strong understanding of how the book works as a code book, so that you can go in and get your power, all right? One thing, you're not supposed to be sick at the doctor's office every 10 minutes because there's a code in the book to tell you how to eat, all right? It's in Genesis 1:29. It says, I've given you herbs and fever and plants for meat. That's your meat. Not cutting the cow's head off, chopping up his innards and cooking them up, having a big old steak. That's not the meat that the book is talking about, okay? The meat is talking about is vegetables and herbs, okay? Seed-bearing fruit, okay? You got stuff out there without no seeds in it. Those are not natural fruits. Those are not natural things. So, I mean, I can't be mad at Monsanto. They feed millions of people, you know. If they shut the supermarkets down right now, we'd starve to death because we don't know how to feed ourselves, okay? Which is something that we need to do. We need to learn how to feed ourselves. You can grow food without a whole bunch of land. Just put the minerals in the water and plant fruit will grow, you know. So you need you don't need a whole lot of dirt to grow fruits and vegetables and stuff, okay? What you need is the desire to put your will in motion and grab and get it done, you know? Now, first, understand the code. I'm going to do this again. You know, I'm trying to get some feedback, but you're on the line, but you don't give me no feedback on the book, you know? A lot of you are putting the book down because you don't understand the book, and that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to give you a better understanding of the book so that you can go in and get the power, all right? Now, if you have a people or a group, the group is supposed to be functioning with a centralized banking system. Now, where in the world did that come from? How did these people take the Bible and learn about a centralized banking system? Well, they sure didn't have one before they got the book. You know what I'm saying? Now they have a centralized banking system, okay, which was set up, I think it was set up by the Queen, okay? After all, America is one of our colonies. We'll talk about that another time on politics night. We'll talk about that. But Monsanto's feeding so many people. You know, like I said, we have to learn how to feed ourselves. And that's very important, okay? Now, but the first thing you have to do is understanding the book, is understand who you are in relationship to the book. Once you understand that, okay, then you will begin to grasp the power and the meaning of the book. This is what we're trying to do. We're trying to wake you up to the power that's in the book, all right? No matter what tribe you're from, black, brown, red, yellow, white, it doesn't matter what tribe you come out of and where you're coming from, the power is there for you. And if you listen to people that blood-sucking you out of your money, you're never personally going to get the power out of the book, okay? You're going to be caught up in what's called a cult. Strange activities, strange thoughts, and strange things are what you're going to be doing, you know? You won't be able to come together as a people because your group is the only one. Let's go over some of the things that you hear. If you hear these things, then you know that you're in a cult, and you know that they don't really have your best interest at heart. It's about the dues, zakat, or whatever way you're giving that money. That's what it's about, okay? That's why it's hard for the groups to come together, because everybody worried about losing members. Because they members like the other group better, they're going to take their dollars over there rather than keep the dollars where they are, you know? And it costs money to run these little churches. Not little churches, it costs money to run these mega churches, you know? One young man got he's using a basketball stadium for a church, you know? That's how much money he's drawing in on the occult practices. Okay, he's pretty good at it. I listen to him. He's pretty good, you know. So when you hear stuff like when you hear words like you're God's chosen people, hello, let's go back to Psalm 82. Psalm 82 said we're all God. So what God chose you to be their personal. They're personal people. You understand what I'm saying? See, when you deal with the code, you get by all of the nonsense that they're driving at you, all right? So if you're God's chosen people, you have to know what God chose you, all right? Now, you can't say that there's one God because the book just told you that you are all God. So the book is telling you that there's not one God. If there's 6 billion people on the planet, that's how many gods that's on the planet, okay? Now, which God is in charge of what you're doing? All you have to do is follow the money. Follow the money. It will lead you right to the God that's in charge of what you're doing. That's the one God they want you to follow, the God that's counting the money. He's the one God that he wants you to follow, okay? And they'll get up there all day long on the mic and say, well, God told me this and God told me that. Yeah, but what God are you talking to? Now you can ask them. It ain't like something coming through in osmosis, because the book is telling you men and women are God. So who's God? What God are you talking about? What woman are you talking about that's giving you this information? You know what I mean? That brings it down to reality. Takes the spookism out of it. You know what I'm saying? So if they tell you that we are God's chosen people, okay, and they might say, well, God chose this land for us. What guy told you that this land is supposed to be yours? See what I'm saying? That you would go and usurp the land from all of the people that's there, put them in some kind of subservient position. You see what I'm saying? It's all about the cult. See, so once the cult's set up, then it becomes us and them. And you become important, and they're not important. So whatever's coming in, they can't get proper justice, because once you go against them, you're better than them because you're God's chosen people. So, so they're not going to get justice under your system, right? Okay? They'll never get justice under your system, because when you commit a crime, it's different than when they commit a crime. The punishment is harsher than every doggone thing else. Because why? Because somebody told you that you are God's chosen people, you know? But the book says, all right, you can be God's chosen people, but what God chose you. See what I'm saying? Whether Jehovah, Elohim, or Jesus, you can mention Moses, Aaron, mention all the doggone, you can mention all the great men in the book. You know, Abraham, did Abraham choose you to be a special people, or who chose you, you know? And if you go through the different books in the Bible, sure, there's different thought processes in there that might seem to contradict one another, but they don't. You have different people expressing their thought process in those books, like the books that Moses wrote, you know? They say, well, wait a minute. Moses wasn't a God. Well, according to the Bible, you know, one God made Moses a God and made Aaron a prophet. If you're reading the book, it's in there. You see what I'm saying? What does it mean when it says that you are God? It means that you have unlimited potential. It means that you can do whatever you want. You have the power. You have the brain power. See, they keep having this argument, designism versus evolution, okay? Well, you're not evolving. See what I'm saying? You're designing what you want to get to the next level. That's what you're doing. That's not an evolutionary process. The design thing was in you from the beginning. Because according to the book, now, don't get me twisted. According to the book, you designed the heavens and the earth. It said God made the heavens and earth. That was said, right? Or if it said God made it, then the book is telling you that there was a guy. It was a man or a woman up there making the heavens and the earth. That's what it's telling. Okay? And when men and women get together and make men and women in their image, how do they do it? They procreate. They have sex. Now, if me and a sister, we jet black, and then she come out with a blonde-haired, blue-eyed baby, we got a problem. You see what I'm saying? Because the baby is not in our image. Do you where I'm coming from? See, this is why you're missing out on the power. You're missing out on the power because you don't know how to read the book. The book is locked with things. Get healthy, keep you away from trouble. You follow what I'm saying? It's like with the court system. It tells you. Sell your difference before you go to court, because the court belongs to them. That's why the lawyers hurry up and make a deal for you. They try to get a deal to keep you from having to go through the courtroom, to go through the system like that, because the courtroom do not belong to you. It's supposed to, but it doesn't, all right, because most of us are not running the country. We're supposed to be running the country through the vote. We don't be studying about what's going on, about the chain of command and who's on first, who's on second. We don't be studying that. You know where I'm coming from? So when you hear certain phrases, you know that you're in a cult. All cults wind up with the separate mindset, the separatist mindset. Okay, all cults wind up with that. You know, the Nation of Islam. That's not a cult. We need land of our own. We need to separate from you. All that's part of the cult mindset. Do you know where I'm coming from? If we're going to conquer, well, I don't even like the word conquer, but if we're going to go out in space and do what we're supposed to be doing, we need to do it together. Now, the people that understand the Bible, they know that they need all five tribes here working. And they've been taking advantage of the black tribe, because the black tribe been making most of the stuff that they're using to go from one level to the next, but they're in control of it. See, we haven't taken control of our own genius. They don't come around, and boy, we have genius. We got kids right now, 11 years old, trying to get into college. You see what I'm saying? So the geniuses are there, okay? But I'm just saying, you're running into these cults, okay? I'm just giving you some phrases that you'll hear when you're under a cult. You are the original people of God. Now, think about that for a second. I'm just dealing with the Bible, how the book says. The Bible says we're all gods. So if we're all gods and there's five different tribes, right, on the planet, black, brown, red, yellow, white, then you have to ask yourself, which tribe is the original tribe? You see what I'm saying? Now they're trying to convince you that based on the lineage of a group of people, that was the original tribe. But something's wrong with that picture. You see what I'm saying? That takes you right back into a cultism. And now you have one group saying that, well, because of our descendants, we're the original so-and-so, so-and-so. You know what I'm saying? You've heard the dialogue, so I'm not getting into this specific dialogue because I don't want to act like I'm diminishing certain groups of people out there, but I'm dealing with the cult, okay, and the cult phrase, all right? Now, here's another cult phrase. God has named your religion, okay? You pick a name out of the book that God mentioned or said something, and then that's the name of the religion. All right, and I said it was called because God said this, you know, and the book is telling you that the person that you're talking about was a man. Well, it was a man, but with the thought process of God, because see, it says that we're all God. See, so when a man stepped up into the mind of God, which that's one thing I like about Elijah Muhammad, he did teach that. When a man stepped up into the mind of God, his thought process is different. He's not limited by nature, okay? Now, remember, if you have a comment or you want to say anything or disagree with anything I'm saying, just hit one on your dial, open up your mic. We can dialogue. I'm not going to debate you on the book, but we can dialogue. You know, you can give your opinion on what you think and so forth and so on, okay? But today we're going through cult phrases, cult things, how they have you tricked so that I don't care what you do, whether you're a Muslim, Christian, Buddhist, Hebrew, whatever you are, there's seven separate sects in all of those groups because of the occult practice. See? Somebody always going to figure out, wait a minute, these guys are making a whole lot of money teaching this stuff. Why can't I be at the head of this thing and have them people sending me money, giving me donations and zakat and tithes every doggone week? Instead of going to Harry, you can come to me. So you have another group involved because they'd be in a group long enough, they get enough people that they know in the group, and they find something wrong with the leader. Now, I don't care what leader you are, there's always somebody thinks they're going to be better, you know? And then he split off with his people. Now, he got his own group. See what I'm saying? They're bringing people in to him, you know? And this is what's been going on. Group after group after group. Look how many Muslim sects out there. How many Christian sects? How many Buddhist sects out there? You know what I'm saying? If you watch the history of Buddha, even when Buddha was here, they broke off into different groups. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's all about the occult practice. And occult practice leads to destruction because they're going to arm themselves to protect themselves against the other cults. That's what's going on. Once the armament takes place, it don't take much to spark these guys into some type of physical battle, some type of physical war. If you check, more wars have been fought over religion and cults than any other thing. You know what I'm saying? Because they get, well, if they use the Bible, right? Now, if you use the Bible as a religious book, like I'm saying, we're going through the cult stuff because they're using cult practices to separate and isolate certain groups of people that deal with that. You know what I'm saying? And that's what Trump's trying to do. Trump's trying to set up a little cult following. That's what he's trying to do. And people are falling for it. You know, they you'd be surprised at how fast you can set up a group if you set it up as a cult. It works. I mean, it really, really works. You follow what I'm saying? The only thing that when you set up a cult as a religion, you're supposed to have a society for the people to plug into that's not part of the cult. See? That's why President Hansen and them made church and state separate. You know what I'm saying? Now you have a society that's not part of the religious hookup. See? And that makes it so that the people are not only little cult practices separate from each other, but there's one government that they're all supposed to be working under, or one society that they're all supposed to be working under, regardless of what your tribe is, what religion you is, what thought preference you have, any of that. They're supposed to be working together as a group. Now, how did they do such a thing like that? You know, the United States is a trust. All right, let me run this through a little bit. The United States is a trust, and the citizens of the United States, okay, are trustees. When you get together to vote, you're voting for trust managers, your congressmen, your senators, your mayors, your aldermen, all these people, your district councilmen and all that. They're trust managers. And in order to be a trust manager, you have to take a vow, an oath, to swear to follow the indenture agreement, which is the Constitution. Okay? Now, if you were in our society, you would be learning this stuff. You would be getting this stuff because our society is a trust. Do you know where I'm coming from? So you would be actually learning this stuff and how to function better in a system like this. All right? Now, right now, we're in the process of society of setting up our own bank. What? Yeah, we're in the process of setting up our own bank. So we have to be able to control. We have to have a strong revenue stream because we don't collect dues. We once you join our society, the society is gearing up to put money in your pocket. Once the society is putting money in your pocket, then you can break off some money back to the society from the money that the society is guaranteeing you you're going to get. Okay? That's how it's supposed to work. And there's more to it than that, but this is about the Bible 2.0. We want to, you know, get into how some groups are getting power from the book, and you're not. If you're dealing with the book as a religious book, you're going to have problems because you're looking for the huge God, or the one God, as they call it. You follow what I'm saying? That controls everything and watching what you do. I mean, we had a guy that's controlling what our lives and what's been going on in this country. We need to kick him to the curb because he is not doing a good job, or she, whatever. When I say God, I'm using it as a gender neutral. It's not male or female. It's you know, that incorporeal energy forms in flesh. Okay, that's not male or female. Well, it's both male and female. How can we be male and female? Come on, when that egg hit, you got half chromosomes and half chromosomes for the male, half chromosomes for the female, and they get together and the baby come out. So everybody's half male, half female. Period. Ain't no guy trapped in no woman's body. Ain't no woman trapped in a man's body. You're half of that. That's who you are. Follow what I'm saying? What can I tell you? I didn't want to go in that direction, but let's go back to somebody saying, okay? The last one we talked about was God has named your religion, okay? I can name some of the groups that said this is the only name that God talked about in the book. That's why we call ourselves this. All right. As you'll run into these guys, and as you listen to them, you'll hear what they're saying, and it'll bring you back to the cult practice. Okay. Now, this is a big one. This is the biggest cult attraction. Someone is the one true God. Oh boy. Everybody know about that one. There's only one true God. Yeah. Well, the Bible is telling you different. And these people follow the Bible. You know where I'm coming from? They read the Bible every day. And they talk about, oh, there's only one God. No, the Bible, that's not what the Bible is telling you something different. There's 6 billion gods on this planet. That's the Bible is saying. We're all gods. You follow what I'm saying? And when they talk about the Most High, who do you think they're talking about? They made you, you know? I mean, think about it for a second. Forget about Adam and Eve. We don't know who made Adam and Eve. You know what I mean? But you know who made you. You know what I'm saying? That's why the first thing in the book says, honor thy mother and thy father. That's who made you. That's how you got here. Regardless of what everybody else think about whatever, you know what I mean? That we come from Mars or planet Jupiter or something. That's, you know, your mother and father made you in their image. Let us make men and women in our image. This was done before the story of Adam and Eve, okay? And Adam, the story of Adam and Eve, it's got so much in it. It's just absolutely amazing, the information that's in that story of Adam and Eve. Well, let me finish going through the occult thing. That's what I'm talking about today, how they're getting so much power out of the book, okay? And you're not getting no power. You might get some money, which is influence, but money ain't power. See what I'm saying? Money can get you influence to produce power, all right? How many of you can pick up the phone and put boots on the ground? How many of you can pick up a phone and call in an airstrike? You know what I mean? How many of you got it like that? You know, how come they got it like that and you don't have it like that, okay? There's a reason for it. And there's a reason why they reverence the Bible. You know, they make you swear on the Bible for everything. Why is that? Why, you have to ask yourself, why is that book so important to these billionaires, these trillionaires? You see what I'm saying? What is in that book that's getting them paid? The occult practices, that's what's getting them paid. And I'm giving you some of the occult sayings now so that you know you're in a cult. Now, see, when you're in a cult, a cult don't mean it's good or bad. You do want to come from, it depends on the thought process of the cult. If the thought process of the cult is taking you towards love, then there's nothing wrong. Then your cult is fine. It's just that it's not going to generate the kind of power you want, you know what I mean, unless it's attached to another society, which we're all Americans, United States government, federal government, that's the society, which is owned by the Queen, but that's a whole other story. But anyhow, we're getting into the occult thing. Now, if you want money from the book right quick, all you got to do is set up a cult. You see what I'm saying? You can set up a cult and tie it back and tie it into the country. Most churches that you're in, most mosques that you're in, most temples that you go to, the church is tied to the government. Well, how in the world are they tying the church to the government? The government is paying for these churches to keep them tied to the government. How? Oh, we got a 501c3. You know what I mean? You check out that 501c3. Those people that got 501c3s, they literally work for the government. There's nothing wrong with working for the government. So the government is getting the power, and they're getting the money and influence. But they don't have the power because the government's got the power. You see what I'm saying? Because the government is paying them by not charging them taxes to keep everything going the way it's going. In fact, it's in the contract when they get the 501c3, they're not supposed to discuss politics. They're not supposed to be dealing with politics. You see what I'm saying? Church and state is separate. You know what I'm saying? So when you get your church set up, you ain't supposed to be dealing with the state politically from that pulpit. I'm saying from that pulpit. You can still go out and vote and all that stuff. But from that pulpit, you're not supposed to be dealing with the, you're not supposed to be rolling like that, you know? So I'm not saying that the cults are good or bad, all right? It depends on the thought process of the cult. Now, a lot of the KKK members are Christian. So now, what are they thought process? You see what I'm saying? They don't have a good thought process. They're dealing with hate. See what I'm saying? Hate, destruction, mayhem. That's what they're dealing with. And they call themselves Christian. I don't remember Jesus. If they didn't name it after Jesus. But I don't remember Jesus acting like that or doing what these guys are doing. So what are they doing? They've set up a cult practice for their particular thought process. And people fall into that. You know? It's just amazing to me how many people are following Mr. Trump. I gotta say, this guy turned his way all the way to the White House. He can't be mad. Can't be mad at him. Not mad at him. You know, but the people don't really understand what's going on. They don't really know what they're supposed to be doing, how they're supposed to be literally managing the government. You know, the whole thing is kind of interesting. let's get into another cult thing, right? You're hearing all these cult things when you go to these churches, mosques, synagogues, wherever you're going. All of them using cult, the cult terminology. All of them. One of them don't use the cult terminology because it's not about power. It's about influence and money, okay? The influence comes from how many followers they got. And the money comes from how many followers they got, okay? You give your tithes. Some churches, they want the bank statement. They want to know. They want that little template. See what I'm saying? Now, we'll give you that in a minute, about 10%. But here's another cult thing. God is all-knowing. How you both of you at the same time. God is all-knowing. God is all-seeing. Those are two more cult terms. Now, how in the world can God be all-knowing? You know what I mean? If God is a man, according to the Bible, how can he be all-knowing? Now, 1% say, well, since I am God, they know they're God, I would like to be all-knowing. So what do? They got cameras and mics everywhere. Every stroke you make on the internet, they monitoring every doggone thing. They got computers set up, whole warehouses full of computers so that they can know everything that's going on. They want to be all-knowing. And this society is going towards the 1% being all-knowing. You can ride down the street and get a ticket. You know what I mean? Ain't no cops around. They got the cameras up there taking pictures. Click, 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 click. Follow what I'm saying? They want to know where you're at. They got eyes in the sky. See, there ain't no God sitting up there looking at you. It's a satellite up there looking at you. See what I'm saying? They give you the picture of Abraham Lincoln sitting in the chair watching everybody. They got satellites up there watching everything. See, the 1% know that they're God. So there's things that God is supposed to be doing. And that's what they're working towards. That's where they're going. See what I'm saying? You have to wake up and realize that you are a God. See what I'm saying? And that you have the potential to do whatever the book is saying. But you just got to figure out how they're doing it. You know? Well, wait a minute, man. I don't remember the book making nobody a God, you know what I'm saying? Or proclaiming nobody to be a God other than the God that's dealing everything. Check the story of Moses out. You know what I'm saying? Moses had a little doubt because he wasn't in the God mindset. Okay? So he said, look, man, I'm going to make you a God, and I'm going to make Aaron your prophet, because the prophet is the mouthpiece. Prophet is the mouthpiece for God. You know what I'm saying? He's got to realize what God he's talking about, which man that these people are following. You follow what I'm saying? So Aaron became the prophet, and Moses became the God. You can read it. It's right in the book. You know what I mean? I'm not just making this stuff up. It's in the book. You do what I'm coming from? Now, the God that Moses was connected to, he wasn't a planetary being. This is why Moses was able to do what he did, you know? I'm just going to say a little bit of this, because when they used the wrote on the tablets with the finger of God, that was laser technology. Laser technology, okay? He heard the rumbling in the sky. That was a ship up there being cloaked where Moses couldn't see it. Then they had the light on the bush that wasn't burning. That was a light from the ship, wasn't burnt. Moses, he's speaking to him through the speakers. I'm just going there for a minute, you see what I'm saying? Because when you think of all the stuff that Moses did, somebody had to have some heck of a technology to make that happen. Now, the Egyptians, they did have technology to do the snake thing. Oh, hey, we got lots of priests that can do the snake thing, but they couldn't do the frogs, and they couldn't do the turn the water red and all that kind of stuff. That stuff they couldn't do. That was beyond their capability. They didn't have the technology. So Moses was hooked up with somebody that had some strong technology. And don't let nobody tell you the ET ain't here, You know what I mean? Don't let them feed you that. So God is all knowing. This is what the computer age is all about. They want to bring God in into a knowing position. Who's God? We're talking about the 1%. And we're talking about the God is all seeing, right? Got the cameras out there. We got satellites in the sky. So God is becoming all knowing. God is becoming all seeing. You see something out your face, you know, they're right there. Just like this whole broadcast, all being recorded. They can listen to it whenever they feel like it. You know what I'm saying? They can download it, pick it apart. Yeah. This is what I'm saying. And they have every right to do what they're doing because who are they? They're gods. You know what I mean? So they have every right to do what they're doing. But you have a right for them not to be able to hack your stuff. You can block the government from hacking your stuff. Now, you can set up your own bank, really. There's a lot of things that you can do now. Especially when people come out with the Bitcoins and all that kind of stuff. There's so much you can do with that money. You know what I'm coming from? And when you get tired of being a thousandaire, all you have to do is study what's going on. And you can get those millions. Those millions can come. It's a process. Follow what I'm saying? Now, one thing about the stories in the book, everybody that gains success has to go through a process. And the process was brutal. I mean, brutal. They all had to go through a brutal process in order to get to the end of the story. See what I'm saying? Look what Moses went through. Look what Abraham went through. Look what Jesus went through. Look what David went through. Look what all of them went through. They went through this brutal process to get to the end of the story. Now, if you watch the Chinese drama, The Legend of So-and-So, or Oh My General, or some of those stories out there from the Chinese, they go through a brutal process before they win. And they don't give up. See what I'm saying? Somebody asked me, well, anyhow, they go through a brutal process. So sometimes, but if you get in the middle of the circle, everything is going around and around you, but you're sitting in the middle of the circle, right? Look and see how other people have got what they've gotten. Where I'm coming from? The people that are filthy rich out there, they didn't spend all their time being a basketball fan or a music fan. They didn't spend their time doing it. They spent their time trying to figure out how to own these teams, okay? How to manage some of these musicians and stuff out here. They wasn't fans. They were trying to get to the money, and that's what you have to do. You have to figure out, well, Beyonce, she's a strong talent, so how did she get where she got? She had a manager, okay? She had producers. She had all this stuff. So she got paid, but the managers and producers got paid too. You understand what I'm saying? So you got to find out if you want to get your money like that, go find you some talent. Talent is out here. You got men and women that can sing, dance, jump up, shout. You know what I mean? They're out here. You can go manage one of them. But you got to find out how to manage to get caught up with some of these big record companies so you can get these deals. You get a big deal with a record company push everything, you know what I mean? You're dealing with contracts and all that, get them together with BMI, ASCAP, or whatever you got to do. But there's a way to get paid. You see what I'm saying? You have to look for it. But you have to have enough confidence in who you are to go out and do that. Because it's a process. You know what I'm saying? You're setting up the side here. We're setting up. It's a process. I mean, ain't like Big Brother going to see they're not coming back. They pushing back. You know what I'm saying? Because what we set up is pretty powerful. And yes, they're pushing back. It gets a little tricky. I know it's a process. And I don't have a problem going through the process to get where I have to go. Because it involves rescuing the generation is coming behind me. See what I'm saying? We got to break the cycle. Each generation went through the same crap. One generation to the next generation. Somebody got to break the cycle. And as long as you think you're a man or a woman, it's going to be hard for you to break that cycle. You know where I'm coming from? But once you realize that you have unlimited potential, you can design a system. You can design something to accomplish your goals. Remember, your ancestors designed the entire solar system. They designed all this stuff out there. design versus evolution. Evolution, it's a bunch of crap. You know what I mean? Why would you follow a theory? A theory is a thought process that somebody put out that can't be proven or haven't been proven. I'm not saying it can't be proven, but it haven't been proven. See what I'm saying? Design. You're designing stuff right now. You've been designing stuff ever since you've been here. That can, designism can be proven, okay? Well, God made the heavens and the earth. Well, the moon is a satellite. Do we have satellites up there right now? How did they get up there? Somebody designed the process. Men and women can't fly, okay? You can go outside and flap your arms all day long. It's not natural for you to fly like a bird. But as God, the designer of the heavens and the earth, you can design a plane. You can design, design a jet. It's not natural for man to leave this planet. But we're going. You see what I'm saying? Because we're not going as man. Remember what they said when they first landed on the moon? Small step for man, giant step for mankind. You know what I'm saying? They knew. They knew. You see what I'm saying? They just didn't want to say it so that the people, so that would wake the people up. See, it's a small step for man, giant step for God. You follow what I'm saying? They knew what was going on. They just didn't want to wake nobody up. But the book, as a code book, it will wake you up. Okay? You having trouble with your finances? That's what the story of Joseph. The 50% budget. You know, I'll go to the spots that I think people need in the book, and because I'm not trying to do what they're doing. You follow what I'm saying? But you need to have certain information if you're going to be successful. The 50% budget will help you out. Okay, then moving into the bitcoins and all different kinds of univals and all this kind of stuff, of different wallets and stuff that they have out there. They're moving into that. And they have a setup where you can actually own your own bank dealing with bitcoins and stuff, whereas you can protect your money. You can get paid owning your own bank, and it don't cost that much to set the bank up. You follow what I'm saying? It's called a node. You can set up your own node. You follow? You dig me? So there's a lot of things you can do. Now, as a group, what we're supposed to have, we are talking about black power and we need this. We're supposed to have a centralized banking system. That's what the story of Moses is all about, that centralized banking system. When they took all of their 10% or whatever they had and brought it to Moses, the Levites. The Levites were the bankers, okay? And they've been trying to assume that position, the Hebrews. They've been trying to assume that position all along because the Rothschild, they're the grand vizier for the queen. Joseph was the grand vizier for the Pope. I mean, not the Pope, but for the Pharaoh. So they want to maintain that position of managing the finances, okay? Even today, this is what they're doing today, you know? Check it out. The Rothschilds are running the Queen's Empire, you know what I mean, financially. And they're using the book to set these empires in motion to do what they have to do. You know what I'm saying? Now, the Pope went strictly for the occult practices, so his influence is great, but the Pope don't have power. You know what I'm saying? He can't put no planes and jets and stuff on or in the air right now. He can't call up and have an army of 300,000 or 400,000 people coming from the Vatican. He don't have that. You know what I mean? And he got a crew that will do some damage now. Don't get it twisted. Yes, he had a crew that you know, because they used to have a nice Templar. That was a long time ago, but the nice Templar broke off. You feel me? And now the nice Templar, you know, Masons, they have plenty of influence. Now, I don't know if they have power, because right now they don't seem to be owning the country. Seem to be, you follow what I'm saying? Because if they did, you would know about it. That's what I'm saying. Their influence is pretty broad, you know? The Vatican is set up different. They got their own little system over there, on the post office, the military, and all that stuff right there where they're at. It's like a separate state, like the Washington, D.C. is for the federal government. You know, it's like separate from the other 52 states, or from the other states. That's why it was so difficult for them to get in there. And it was in June 6th, whatever they called it. On June 6th, when the white mob went in there and started breaking stuff up, it was difficult for them to go in because they had to get permission from somebody in authority in the federal government before the sister, who was the mayor of Washington, could actually go in there because it's a separate territory. Now, they waited a little while, and Trump had it set up so that his minions didn't get all shot up. When they were in there, he had the little police that was part of the federal hookup, watching out for him. They and they taking selfies with him and all that stuff, you know. But then Mike Pence, because they were trying to kill him, he said, "Hey, come on in here and help me." He made the call. And when he made the call, the sister was there waiting. I mean, she had boots on the ground waiting. And they came in and shut everything down, you know. But she couldn't do that until she got a call from somebody an authority in the federal government for her to go in because the church is separate. Now, they're trying to pass a bill now to bring Washington, D.C. Into the United States, because you got the United States and you got the United States of America. You got two entities here. Do you want to come from? And, you can brush up on it because the Queen owns the federal government and the America. She owns it. That's what I'm saying, because they didn't win their independence. 1776. They declared it, but they didn't win. You know, they got beat up by the Queen. And you can Google who burned down the White House. You know, and it'll tell you. And Britain came over, burned down the White House to teach them a lesson. They tried to make it seem like it was two separate battles, but it was, they fought for 33 years in war. And that's why they put emphasis on them. 1812, like 1812 was the war of 1812. No, that was, that's when they got their butt kicked in 1812. That was the end what do they call it? 1776. That was the end of the Declaration of Independence, which because they lost. You know what I mean? And he did a military coup, took the country from President Hansen and them, and they fought for 33 years more. So I'm just saying, I don't know how I got this far down the road here, but okay. Now there's two more occult things that you're that you hear when you're sitting in these churches, mosques, synagogues. Okay, God is everywhere. All right. Now, if you understood who you are and what you are, see what I'm saying? Then you can understand the statement that God is everywhere. But that's not what the occult practitioners are trying to get you to see. We went through, last Sunday, we went through pre-Bible into where God made the planet. We went into before this dimension had anything in it except the dark matter. You know what I mean? So we went from that point, where you came from, what dimension you came from into this dimension, all the way up until the first step of the Bible when we were making planets, you know? So that lets you know, we only got a few minutes, so I can't go through the whole thing, but that lets you know who you are and what you are in relationship to everything that's out there, okay? Now, here's another one. This is when it gets me. When they talk about in Psalm 82, when they talk about everyone is God, they bring a big G. Oh, that's the big G and the little G. The little G is man and the big G is God. And, you know, but if you study the Hebrew language, okay, there's no upper and lowercase letters. So they got it straight from Hebrew. There was no big G or little G. That's just something they made up to keep you off track, keep you from knowing what your potential is. That's what I'm getting at. Okay? We'll do one more. We're almost out of time. I only got about 4 minutes here. Your Savior is coming to save you someday. Oh, boy. That's a big one. Everybody's running around looking for the Savior. The only place that the 1% look for a savior is in their mirror. And that's what you have to do. You need to get ready to save yourself. Because ain't nobody coming to save you unless it's somebody in your family or friends or something that's coming to save you. But there's no entity up there floating around that's going to come down and do a miraculously saving on you. The best savior that you're going to find is in your mirror. Design something. Design what you want, but you got to sit down and put some thought into this stuff. You got to use your brain so that, that's all I'm going to let you there too, but you have to allow your mind to come in. You have to use your mind, okay? You have to use your mind to store the information in your brain so that you can design and figure out what you want to do. I said it like that. So remember, all you got to do is press 1 on your dial if you want to dialogue or have a comment or something like that, and I'll open up your mic, okay? Because the switchboard is working fine. Also, I'd like to thank everybody that's on the line. I really appreciate you calling in and letting you know that I'm not here by myself, that we do need this information, and the awakening is beginning to happen because the society is Elohim for our tribe, society of love, okay? We got Elohim for our tribe, political party. There's a lot of stuff going on out there, okay? There's chat rooms and all this stuff happening out there, okay? If you want some of the links to some of this stuff, just call 215-758-1703, all right? And we'll give you the links and stuff so how you can tune in and get more information. Now, we got over 300 shows, 300 episodes on Blog Talk. So just go in under Elohim Christ, and all the shows come out. We got about 6 months worth of shows under Will I Am. And he's talking about the Dre Cons and all the different people that were here and what's going on that's related to that little snake that they had in the garden. It's more to it than just the snake, you know what I mean? They had, it's more to it than just the snake. We're almost out of time here. We only got about 90 seconds left. I'd like to do my last assertion before we close out, because we're streaming in other countries as well. And I'd like to do this while we're still streaming. I have walked the path of divine energy today and did not break the universal law itself. All energy went out for a divine purpose, and I will reap what I have sown this day. All that I have put out, I eagerly embrace its return. So let it be written, so let it be done. As a God, your thought, what you say, is being, so be careful what you're saying. Don't say, if you don't mean it, don't say it. If you're not really going to do a certain thing, don't let it come out of your mouth, because it's written. You follow what I'm saying? And when you ask for something, you don't have to keep asking for it. Ask for what you want, knowing that it's going to come to you to reap what you sow. That's how the universe works. The universe will start putting things in motion, moving one thing over here to there, so that as you're traveling a path towards what you're going to get, when you get to a certain point, what you need will be there. You follow what I'm saying? But just know that once you put the word out in the universe that this is what you want, it's coming. Like my mom used to say, be careful what you ask for. You just might get it. Don't be asking for stuff just to be asking for it, because there's a process that goes with it. Okay, now we're actually out of time right now. But remember, love is an act to make others feel good. Make sure that everything you're doing is making somebody else feel good, and hopefully they'll be making you feel good, and you'll be in a feel-good relationship. With that, we will chit-chat tomorrow on Society News. So call in tomorrow, same time, 10:09.